think we found that image pretty quickly this time around, didn't we, Elder David, for the message. So I'm just going to go ahead and get into it. I don't really have much of a story on the image this time. Many people in the modern day are over-encumbered by the worries of the world, especially right now. I want to put that forward. There are a lot of people concerned, just like what Elder David was saying about his sister who said that, and that's good. We should all be striving to make our calling and election sure, especially right now. This is, personally, in my lifetime, I've never seen, which is short, by the way, my lifetime right now is short. I haven't seen much yet, but from what I have seen, I have not seen the world as unstable as it is right now. And with that, there are many people right now who are affected by this virus, worried about this virus, worried about many other things in this world, worried about conflict, civil conflict that might be over the horizon in this nation and many others. There are other nations right now that are headed towards that, from what I've heard. And we are also so often worried about the pleasures of this life rather than the pleasures of our Father, which is to do His will and to seek His will. Even those in the faith, I have come to find, I think, struggle with these things. But we're only human, so of course that's to be expected. But yet, we often forget what I believe to be the most important things a believer can do to connect with Yahweh, and that is prayer. And that's why it's titled this, The Importance of Prayer. The importance of prayer cannot be stressed enough. How many times a day do we take a moment to go into a private area and get on our knees and speak to the one who supplies all our needs? I personally, I will admit, I do not pray nearly as much as I would like to. And to a believer, no amount of prayer should be enough. There's not enough time in the day, I think, to truly satisfy as much as we would truly, honestly like to pray. We should constantly be wanting to speak to our Heavenly Father. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17. Again, if you want to turn there, that's 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17. Wait a sec for people to get there so they can follow along. It says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17, that we should pray without ceasing. Shaul told us to pray without ceasing. Prayer gives us a stronger connection with our Father, Yahweh. If we pray more, the stronger spiritually we will be. In Matthew chapter 26, verse 41, again, that's Matthew chapter 26, verse 41, it says this, "Keep watching and praying so that you do not come into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." From my personal experience, that statement is truer than most people want to think about. Our spirit really is willing. Personally, I've experienced that. We really do inside want to do the will of our Heavenly Father because of the spirit that He has given us. We want to seek Him, but so often our flesh gets in the way of that. It seeks to do its own will, subvert its own will over the will of the Spirit of Yahweh that's in us. And that's why we really do need to pray. Because the more we pray, the more the flesh no longer has that ability to subvert the will of our Father. The flesh is weak, Yahshua said. Our spirit wants to do the will of Yahweh, but our flesh is weak. Yahshua, however, did indicate in this verse the key to overcoming the flesh. He said, watching and praying was the key to overcoming the fleshly lusts. This is most likely how our Master Yahshua resisted sin when tempted. Yahshua was in prayer constantly. During Yahshua's ministry, whenever he wasn't teaching, we usually will find him in prayer. In Matthew chapter 14, verse 23, and that's Matthew chapter 14, verse 23, it says, "After he had sent the crowds away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. And when it was evening, he was there alone." Even Yeshua went alone to pray. I think we all remember when he spoke about going into that private place to speak to our Father so that we're not seen to men. He himself put that into practice as our example. Yeshua prayed often to his Father, keeping the spiritual connection strong. If he is our example, should we not do the same? Our Father Yahweh is someone we can always go to. It bothers me that I have heard people in the faith say, I am all alone, because that is not what Scripture says. In Joshua chapter 1, verse 5, again, that's Joshua chapter 1, verse 5. I'll give you guys a set to get there. It says, no man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. I believe this promise applies to all of us. He will not leave us, nor will he forsake us. This is not to say, of course, I want to add this. This is not to say that we cannot walk away from him. The scripture is very clear that in Hebrews chapter 10, to verse 26, I believe, that if we keep on willfully sinning after receiving the knowledge of the truth, there remains no sacrifice for sin, but a fearful onlooking of judgment, which can so consume the adversaries. Many people will take this verse, or the idea that he will never leave us or forsake us, and apply it to the idea of a doctrine of eternal security, or once saved, always saved, but if we continue to want to do his will, I mean, of course our flesh doesn't, but in Romans, Shaul said, with my mind, I serve the law of Yahweh. So often we don't do that which we want to do. I think we can all hear, understand what Shaul was saying when he said, oh, the good that I seek to do, that I do not, but the thing that I hate, that I do. I would say to anyone who hasn't experienced that is inhuman at this point. But that being said, he at the end of it said, but with my mind, with my flesh I serve the law of sin, but with my mind I serve the law of Yahweh. So there's a willing to do, but we are not always able to put that willing into action. So of course, those who were wanting to overcome sin, or those who are wanting to do the will of Yahweh yet fall short, Yahweh will not leave or forsake as long as the will to do is present. Yahweh will never leave or forsake us. He is always ready and there to hear our prayers and supplication. Some people ask, what can I do to overcome sins I am struggling with? Yeshua answered and involved prayer. In Mark chapter 9, verse 29, again, that's Mark chapter 9, verse 29, he says, speaking to his disciples, of course, and he said to them, this kind cannot come out by anything except prayer. Now, I'm going to add this. Some versions of Mark 9:29 add fasting as a part of the equation, and some don't. Really, it's dependent upon which manuscripts are used. The older manuscripts don't include fasting. Some people ask, I just wanted to put that forward, because, you know, some people say, well, where's the fasting part? Well, I use the New American Standard Bible in this, which uses the older manuscripts. The King James Version, for example, will use the newer manuscripts, the Codex Vaticanus, and I believe there's another one, Codex Sinaiticus. I believe that's what the King James Version used, which I believe are actually newer manuscripts. So, or I might have that backwards, but you guys can always go look that up sometime. It's always good to do study. But anyway, some people ask, why don't my prayers get answered? And there are a few possibilities as to why one's prayers may not be heard. The answer could be as simple as right now it's not within Yahweh's timing. Yahweh has a set time for everything, and if it's not the time for the thing that you're praying for, then don't expect to receive it, I would say, at that time. That's not to say you won't receive it in the future, it's just not right now. I think parents have said that, my parents have certainly said that to me on things I've asked from them before in this world. Our Heavenly Father is no different. Sometimes we'll ask something of our parents and they'll say, not right now. Another reason is it may not be a part of Yahweh's will at all. Remember what Yeshua prayed in the garden. In Luke chapter 22, verse 42. Again, that's Luke chapter 22, verse 42. It says, saying, Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me. Yet not my will, but yours be done. I want to stress enough that in this moment of prayer, Yahshua was going through so much suffering, mentally speaking. In fact, to go through so much suffering, to literally sweat blood, that is a actual medical condition. I can't remember what it's called, but it's where you have so much stress that it literally bursts the capillaries in your forehead. And you literally start to sweat blood. But to go through to cause that, you have to be going through stress that most people have never experienced. That's a very rare thing. Most people have never experienced sweating blood. It takes a lot of stress. I mean, a lot from what I've understood and looking into that. We have to remember he knew what he was about to go through. Probably the worst form of capital punishment this world may have ever seen. On top of that, he not only would have to do that, he would have to feel the separation from his father. He knew he would feel that separation. A father which he had never, from the beginning of creation, perhaps, and before that, had never experienced a separation from. If we, which personally I have every now and then felt that distance, and that is a heavy feeling, a sad feeling. If any of us have sinned, I'm sure we've felt that distance every now and then from our Heavenly Father. That is a heavy feeling. But he bore the entire world's separation from the Father, the one who had been with him from the beginning. I don't think we can even begin to understand the amount of pain that he went through there, knowing that was coming. In Matthew chapter 26, verse 42, again, that's Matthew chapter 26, verse 42. It says, he went again a second time and prayed, saying, my Father, if this cup cannot pass away unless I drink from it, your will be done. Again, that's just another example of him praying his Father's will over his own, despite all the mental pain he was going through at the moment and the physical pain that would soon follow. Yahshua being our example put Yahweh's will over his own, even in prayer. So yes, that means you most likely will not be getting that Lamborghini you have been praying for. So many, I'm sorry, I had to add that in there. I didn't know that you were praying for that. I know some people think that they are going to get that though. You got people out there today that are teaching a prosperity gospel, this idea that our Father wants us to have everything in the world. No. It's not what he wants. He wants us to have enough, I would say. I would say he doesn't want us to... I'm not going to say that there aren't rich people in the faith. Job was a rich man, and yet sought to do the will of his father. But at the same time, being rich often leads down the wrong path. Take example of most... people today who are rich, what's the first thing they go get? A fancy car. That's a waste of money, in my opinion. Why not just get a car that's suitable enough just to get you around? That's the only reason the cars really exist, is just for you to get around easier. You don't need a sports car. Why buy a concrete swimming pool when you can just go to a store and buy one you can just puff up with air and swim in? There are so many cheap alternatives that are just so much easier to go with. But these people who are rich, they focus more on the worldly things because they can get more of the worldly things. And they just dig themselves a hole. Which is why I believe the scripture says very plainly that the love of money is a root of many kinds of evil. But that being said, so many people are focused on their wants rather than their needs. And Yahweh wants us to put his needs first. And he also wants us to put our needs rather than our wants first. Some people, like I said, was focusing on their wants. He's more concerned with what we need than what we want. That's a good father right there, who gives us what we need rather than what we want. You know, it reminds me of a movie. There's one line from the movie. It's It was kind of a horror thriller movie, but it was an interesting take on things. It was the Almighty was actually testing his angels in the movie. That was the conclusion of the movie. He sent his angels to do something, and in the movie there was a confrontation between Michael and Gabriel. Michael did not go along with what he was told to do because he was more concerned about what Yahweh needed rather than what he was told to do. And I think that I just wanted to point out that in that sense, it was I thought there was an interesting message in that movie, in the sense that Gabriel, at the end, the final conclusion was the reason that Michael won was because he gave our Father in heaven what he needed rather than what he wanted. But what we need is the focus. That's my point in this. What he wants of us, what he needs. We need to give him what we need. You get the point. Matthew chapter 4, verse 4. You can go ahead and turn there, but I'm going to finish. The thing we need most is Yahweh, though, and his words. Or does food alone sustain us? In Matthew chapter 4, verse 4, he says, "But he answered and said, It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes out of the mouth of Yahweh." Yeshua quoted Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3 in this passage. So I'm going to go ahead and read that too. If you want to turn there, it's Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3. "And he humbled you and let you go hungry and fed you with the manna which you did not know," which it's ironic because manna is literally translated, "What is it?" in Hebrew, if you translate it into English. "Nor did your fathers know, in order to make you understand that man shall not live on bread alone, but man shall live on everything that comes out of the mouth of Yahweh." We need Yahweh, as he is the sustainer of life. Without him, we wouldn't even exist. It is by his power that we are physically sustained, and it is by our relationship with him that we are spiritually sustained. What else might cause my prayer not to be heard, one might ask. The other reason is like another reason, and likely the biggest reason, most who pray don't have their prayer answered is because of sin. Sin separates us from our Father in heaven. As I mentioned before, that was why, for the first time ever, Yeshua experienced the separation from our Father in heaven. He bore the sins of the entire world. The weight of that guilt, that sadness, that pain must have been beyond all understanding, which is why we can truly say he has suffered all things. That being said, Isaiah chapter 59, verse 2. In Isaiah 59, verse 2 says this, "But your wrongdoings have caused a separation between you and your Elohim, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he does not hear." We are in a relationship with our Father. We are in a covenant relationship. It's not a one-sided agreement. So many people today think, "Oh, well, I'm not going to do anything he wants me to do, but he has to do everything I want." No. No, that's not what a covenant is. A covenant, which the Hebrew word for covenant is brit, which literally means cut. It's a covenant that is done by blood. It's binding. At first, you must agree. In a covenant, you must first agree to this, to the, you must first agree before the covenant is made to the covenant's requirements. This is why in the scriptures we see before the cut was made in the old, in the Brit Hadash, and not the Brit Hadashah, but the old covenant, the one in the Torah, the one done at Mount Sinai, before he even sacrifices the ox or the bullock that they use to sanctify the agreement, they made the vow to keep the covenant. "All that Yahweh has said, that will we do." And I think they said that at least twice. I think it might have been three times. But that being said, it's ironic, within 40 days, 40 to 45 days after that, they screwed up big time. Right around, they turned aside quickly from that which had been commanded them. Now, I don't know why they turned aside so quickly after seeing so many miracles done in Mitzrayim or in Egypt, but tell you what, it's hard to understand how you turn so quickly to such a degree, nonetheless. But that being said, a covenant is a binding contract. It's not a one-sided agreement. We will do this, and in reply, he will do this. It's like a marriage. It's not one-sided. In marriage, I'm not married, but even I, outside of a marriage covenant, understand what's supposed to be done. There are things that each one attributes to the marriage. Both sides do something. It doesn't work if just one side does something. It's not like, that's why the marriages in those stereotypical movies where the guy is fat sitting on the couch asking for a beer from his wife ever work out. Because she's just doing everything and he's just sitting on the couch being a couch potato. It never works out. But that being said, if we don't do what we agreed to do, that is to obey his laws, his statutes, and his ordinances, why then should he bless us? After all, obedience is what brings the blessings. In Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 26 through 28, again, that's Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 26 through 28. Take a drink while I let you get there. It says this, "See, I am placing before you today a blessing and a curse. The blessing, if you listen to the commandments of Yahweh your Elohim, which I am commanding you today, and the curse, if you do not listen to the commandments of Yahweh your Elohim, but turn aside from the way which I have commanded you today, by following other mighty ones which you have not known." So obedience brings blessings and disobedience curses. I want to add this. People don't really understand what it means to go after other mighty ones. I think that just simply means worshiping another deity or another mighty one. That is going after other mighty ones, but even disobeying his commandments is going after another mighty one, because the commandments that we have been commanded by Yahweh define him. If we're not obeying his commandment, we have gone after another mighty one already. Most people don't understand the depth of that. And that's why it saddens me to see the Christian church or the churchianity the way it is today. They just don't understand that we show our love, as it says in 1 John, I believe. This is the love of Yahweh, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous, not a burden. But they make it out to be a burden. We make it harder than it needs to be. It's truly not that hard, if we really put our effort into it. The problem is that sinful nature of ours. In Proverbs, it says, hold on one second. If you're disobeying, don't expect prayers to be answered. In fact, the scriptures come straight out and tell us this. In Proverbs chapter 28, verse 9. Again, that's Proverbs chapter 28, verse 9. It says this. "One who turns his ear away from listening to the law, even his prayer is an abomination." Personally, I have yet to have a person in the Christian church give me an answer as to, or an argument against that. They just don't accept it. But at the same time, that's probably why so many people in churchianity don't get a prayer answered, is because they have turned their ear from hearing his law. They actively speak against it. There's another reason, and most people don't know this, why prayers might not be answered. But this is angelic battles and wars that can delay the answering of a prayer. Consider Daniel. When he prayed for an answer to something, Gabriel was withheld for weeks by what is called the Prince of Persia. And Daniel chapter 10, verse 13, again, that's Daniel chapter 10, verse 13, says this. "But the prince of," this is Gabriel speaking, of course, "but the prince of the kingdom of Persia was standing in my way for 21 days. Then behold, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, or had been there, left with the kings of Persia. This is, most people don't do studies into this, but this is a study on, if you really look into this, this is what some people call angelic majesties. It's a study on the spiritual, what's going on around us. Right now, there is a war going on around us, everywhere. There are demons that are battling the Malachim, or the angels that are protecting or trying to get us to do what's right. There is a cosmic, celestial battle going on right now. We can't see it. But I do believe babies and dogs can. How many times have we seen babies just looking around, looking at something that you can't see? Their innocence is what allows them to see that, I believe. And dogs. I've witnessed my dogs, personally, look at things that are around. And I know, I mean, sometimes I can actually sense the presence of a spiritual entity there. There's been times where I have, one time into my room, ironically, I was going to bed at night. I had Domino, which I got here, honestly, from one of the people who used to come here, and he was lying in my bed with me, and I was trying to go to sleep one night, and I hadn't had him very long, but he stuck his head up all of a sudden and looked in the corner of my room and started growling, and I got a dreadful feeling, something wasn't right. And this goes into another thing. It's not necessarily to do with prayer, but it's a similar thing. People don't understand this, but I simply said, I knew it was a demon. I could sense it. And I told it to go away in the name of Yahshua. I invoked the name of our master. Like that. My dog stopped growling and the feeling lifted. So that is an instance that actually occurred. But there is power in the name of our master and in the name of our Father in heaven. It's one example I wanted to bring forth because it was relevant to this. The passage in reference is in a reference to battles in the spiritual realm. While Satan can delay a prayer's answers with his forces, he cannot ultimately stop the answer from arriving. As seen here, Yahweh will ensure that the prayer is answered. He will ensure it arrives. The answer will arrive. So be patient. Sometimes prayer takes time. How exactly should we pray our prayers to our Heavenly Father? First thing one must have before praying is the ability to humble oneself. Without humility, you won't get far. Another thing one needs to do is to remember to put Yahweh's will first in prayer. Remember, Yahshua is an example. Also, when you pray, you must not be do it seen of men. I think that so often, even today, it's not just the Pharisees and the Sadducees of the days of the time of the Messiah. People today do that too. I think a lot of the mainstream churchianity pastors literally just halt in the middle of whatever they're doing, and I've seen this, and they just start praying. And it's weird because why do you do that in the middle of a message unless you're wanting to receive glory of men? I'm not saying I agree with the messages of most churches in India. I'm just saying that it's obvious that they're seeking their own glory rather than the glory of the Master. I do want to add this in because I don't think I put this in. First, another thing we need to remember, I didn't put this down, but I think it's in Matthew, but Yahshua said, whatever you ask in my name. It might have been John, but either way, the prayer... Yahshua is our intermediary. We have to go through him. We can't directly approach our Father. We must first go through Messiah. He is that mediator between us and him. I'm not saying we can't pray to our Heavenly Father, but it's definitely, I don't think it's going to be very effective without Yahshua, because whatever you pray in his name, he said, would be heard. Whatever you ask in his name. Of course, we don't pray to Yahshua. We pray to our Father. People think, oh, I'm gonna pray to Yahshua. Yahshua is the Father's Son, but he is not the Father. A lot of people don't get this. He was created as well. If we read in Proverbs chapter 8, it talks about how he was the there was something there with Yahweh in the beginning, something that he that possessed, that was the master builder. That was Yahshua. We believe here hold that opinion, that Yahshua was that master builder. But it also says in that he had a beginning. And even in Revelation, in fact, I might just turn there real quick if I can find it.
John 15:7.
Okay, the one that I mentioned earlier, yeah. I don't remember where it is exactly. If someone can, I want to say it's in the letters to the assemblies in Revelation. It says, Yahshua refers to himself as the firstborn of all creation. Yes, or the first of creation. And I don't know where it is exactly. If someone can find that for me, though, that'd be nice, and I can read it. But going on someone looks for that if they want to. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 5 through 6, it says this. Again, that's Matthew 6, verse 5 through 6. It says, "And when you pray, you are not to be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and on the street corners so that they will be seen by people. Truly I say to you, they have their reward in full. But as for you, when you pray, go into your inner room, close your door, and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you." Now, I'm not going to say that this is always possible. There's times I've felt compelled to pray and wanted to pray, but I was in a public space with nowhere to go. So, of course, I think you just do your best to hide that, personally. You don't want to be glorified. So don't let your right hand know what your left hand is doing in this scenario. It's the same concept as with giving. You don't want to be seen of men. It's not the goal to be glorified. The goal is to show the love and mercy that our Father gave us to others so that they might come to the knowledge as well, or come to the understanding of his mercy. Freely give, freely, if you were freely given, freely give, in other words. Our reward should be from the heavenly places, not the earthly ones, which fade and die. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 19 through 20, again, that's Matthew 6, verse 19 to 20, so you shouldn't have to turn too far from your previous place. It says, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in or steal. If the world is passing away in its lust, why should we desire from the world?" In 1 John chapter 2, verse 17, again, that's 1 John chapter 2, verse 17, it says this, "The world is passing away, and also its lusts. But the one who does the will of Yahweh continues forever." With these things in mind, one might still wonder, how exactly should I pray? Someone would respond by saying the prayer Yahshua taught in Matthew 6, 9 through 13. I'm going to go ahead and read it, but I'm not going to, I'll explain at the end. Matthew 6, verse 9 through 13, it says this, "Pray then in this way, our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be thy name, your name, your kingdom come, your will be done. On earth as it is in heaven, forgive us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil." So many times when I was in the Methodist church, this was done. This was prayed every Sunday. It's a very definition of a repetitious prayer. Very definition of it. But this prayer is not a prayer to pray, but a model for how one should pray. First, in prayer, what this prayer, model prayer, shows us is we need to address who we are praying to, which is our Father, Yahweh. We need to then glorify him and give him praise. This, according to the model prayer, comes first. Yahweh is easy to be entreated. He is even more easily entreated when you give him his due praise and honor. Next in prayer is praying that his kingdom come. This literally means what it says, that we pray for his kingdom to soon be established here on earth. A kingdom without sin, pain, and death. Next in the model prayer is that his will be done, We need to ensure that His will is done first and foremost in our lives. And so in a proper prayer, this will come before ours. We will pray for His will first. Ours comes later. Give us this day our daily bread. Well, this one's interesting because some think this one is referring to physical food to pray for. But I think differently. As Yeshua said, our Father already knows what we need these things. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 25 through 26, it says, "For this reason I say to you," again, if anyone wants to follow me there, it's Matthew 6, verse 25 through 26. It says, "For this reason I say to you, do not be worried about your life as to what you will eat or what you will drink, nor for your body as to what you will put on. Is life not more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the sky, that they do not sow nor reap, nor gather crops in the barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. How are you not much more important than they?" I would say yes, we are, because we have been given the dominion over all the beasts, the field. At least that's what we had before Adam and Eve gave the deed over to Satan. But I still think to a level we still have this dominion. Of course, I think we can see that in dogs. Dogs are one of the few animals today, I think, still respect that hierarchy in nature. Dogs know that humans are their masters, their overseers, their, what you would say, their stewards, if you will. They have been put under our stewardship to care for. Most people don't get this, but Yahweh is just trying to get us back to the way we were in the Garden of Eden. That was a perfect creation right there. It was what everything we could have wanted was there. Everything was perfect, and there was no death, there was no sin. It was as perfect as you can get. And people don't get this. People ask me, I've had people ask me in the past, why didn't the Almighty create a perfect world? He did. He made it as perfect as you possibly could. Free will, though, he wanted creatures with free will to love Him freely. He wanted creatures that would, or beings that would represent Him of their own free will and love Him according to their own free will. He didn't want to program it, but with the choice of free will comes the possibility of disobedience. And once you add in that disobedience, once you take away from that which is perfect, or add to that which is perfect, it is no longer perfect. It becomes imperfect. And so, when we either added something into the world, which I would say we added the knowledge of sin and death to ourselves, the knowledge of good and evil, which we knew about death. I'm sure Adam and Eve knew what death was, but they didn't. It wasn't in them. Death was not in them at the time. But when we added that, everything, I would say, became unbalanced. And that's why everything ended up the way it is. That being said, considering this verse, these verses on not needing food and stuff, I believe that our daily bread is the Word. Some people think it's physical food, but I believe it's the Word. Give us our daily bread. Our food should be to do the will of our Heavenly Father. In John chapter 4, verse 34, again, this John chapter 4, verse 34, says this, "Yeshua said to them, 'My food is to do the will of Him who sent me and to accomplish His work.'" This also goes back to, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of Yahweh." After praying these things, though, the model prayer shows us then to shift to ask forgiveness for our sins. But the key is we first must have forgiven others their sins against us. Oops, sorry. What's that? So many people don't get this, what I'm about to read to you. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 14 through 15, it's Matthew 6, verse 14 through 15, it says, "For if you forgive other people for their offenses, your Heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive other people, then your Father will not forgive your offenses." It bothers me how many people I see in this world that have a lack of forgiveness, saying, I can never forgive people. I've had conversations with my mom in multiple instances about this. I once told her I forgave Hitler, even though he never did anything personal to me. He did something to my brothers and sisters of the nation of Israel. Some of those people, I guarantee you, are real Israelites who are our brothers or sisters or cousins, maybe long-distance cousins without even knowing it. That being said, my mom, when I said that, says, don't you dare ever say that. She did not have a forgiving spirit in that mindset. It shocked me because I remember reading this. There was another scenario also. There was a time, I forgot, but there's been multiple scenarios where, oh yeah, my mom, I was talking about, and I understand this is a personal thing. My mom, apparently her father, her biological one, abandoned her and her mother when she was young. And somehow one day we got into that topic. I think it was, we were watching a show on TV, and I was talking about how it bothers me how people can't seem to forgive their fathers or their mothers who abandoned them. After all, we're all only human, and sometimes people just can't handle some responsibilities, or they just don't think they can. But when I said that, when I said that they should be forgiven, she really railed into me. She said, I don't understand. I don't think I really need to understand to know that we all deserve a second chance, though. Yahweh gave us a second chance freely. And as I said before, freely give, because we were freely given. But we must be willing to forgive, to expect forgiveness. Next in the model prayer is to ask for deliverance from temptation. This is basically asking for the power to avoid temptation. And if temptation arises, asking for the strength to overcome it. This model of prayer is actually so deep, you could probably write pages worth of info on it. But I summed it up for you. With all of this in mind, how to pray, what makes a prayer effectual? I hope that you all that are listening have learned something new. And I hope that you will pray without ceasing. Remember, this is what makes a fair prayer effectual. In James chapter 5, verse 16, says this. James chapter 5, verse 16. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. A prayer of a righteous person, when it is brought about, can accomplish much. The prayer of a righteous person can indeed accomplish much. So, that is all I have. Hope you guys have been blessed with this message. I hope Yahweh opens those who are on the internet's eyes to this message, and that they've learned more than just about prayer, because this turned into more than just about prayer. But it all ties together. Yahweh bless.